Hey, this is Keith. I'm the pastor of Blaze Church. Welcome to our podcast. I know today's message is going to inspire you, encourage you, and lead you to know God more. If you want to connect with us, visit us online at blazechurch.org. Enjoy today's message.
Can we celebrate that? How awesome is that? Like, that's just so cool to me, and it really is because of your radical generosity. And they always send us their newsletters, and so we get these. In fact, we're going to try to make this available in our email tomorrow to you guys digitally. And they also sent us a message after they received our gift and said, "Wow, Keith, what an incredible act of love and generosity. We are overwhelmed by your kindness. Thank you for blessing us and helping to establish and build more churches in Uruguay. Please pass on a big thank you to the congregation. You truly are making an eternal difference. And while we may be over 5,000 miles away, we have been following you in growth and expansion of Blaze Church. We are so amazed at what God is doing in and through you. Keep up the great work. Love you guys." Can we just celebrate that? How awesome is that, man? I love it because I want you to realize, like, our heart, while God has called us to just see the east end of Long Island, know God and find freedom, discover purpose and make a difference, we do believe the church is way bigger than just one local church. And there are believers making a difference all around this world. And so I'm so excited. In fact, this morning when I opened up the mail that had come in the past couple days, we had three different thank you letters from local organizations or churches that we have been blessed. Like, all in the same day, just like, "Thank you, Blaze Church, for generosity. Thank you for generosity." I was like, man, this just doesn't get old. Like, I love this. And so thank you guys for all that you are doing to be faithful and giving. And come on, let's keep celebrating. Next Sunday is our last Sunday in this building, guys. That's crazy to me. And I will say tentatively, because I'm only writing with a pencil now after 2020. And so until we have our first service, January 24th, but that's what we're gearing up for. So next Sunday, we will celebrate all that God has done through this building, through this resource, and then look forward to how God is going to use us. And I memorized where we're going now. So it's 2012 Old Country Road, Riverhead. Okay, so that's the address, and you're going to get all of that. In fact, today we're going to give you some stuff to remember that. But we're going to be gathering there. And I do want you to join me right now with a little participation. Everybody say this: 8:30, 10 o'clock, 11:30. Hey, one more time all together: 8:30, 10 o'clock, 11:30. Okay, so those are our new service times when we get started at the Residence Inn, which is across from Tanger Outlet, right in Riverhead. And parents, if you've got kids that are in Blaze Kids, we'll have Blaze Kids programs at the 10 o'clock and the 11:30. And that means maybe if you don't have children that you bring, you might consider coming to the 8:30 service. All three services will be the same for our adult services. And we are going to continue to abide by and follow the restrictions that are in place now that we're gathering in what's really called a non-residential gathering space. And so every service will have 50 adults and 50 kids to abide by the restrictions that are in place. And as those lift, we'll be shifting some service times again and keeping you up to date with everything that's going on. But man, it's just so exciting. I can't believe we're actually saying, like, it's here in less than 2 weeks. And God is just, he's a miracle working God. In fact, can we just worship him one more time? Just for him. Like, it's wild. It really is. It's really awesome. Well, today we're going to continue this series we started called I'll Do It Tomorrow. And last week we began, and we're really just taking time to spend the month of January looking at just blessings that God has for the life of someone who knows him. You might call them spiritual disciplines or practices or habits, whatever it is, but it's really God's invitation to say, hey, now that you know me, you get to do this. These aren't have-tos. These are here's what you get to do now because of the freedom that you found in Jesus. And yet too often we kind of look at those get-tos and say, I'll get to do that tomorrow. I'm not going to do that today. It's just a little bit too hard. And last week we started by talking about prayer and fasting, that prayer is what connects us to God. Fasting is what disconnects us from the world. And we actually kicked off our 21 days of prayer and fasting last Sunday. And we completed week one, everybody. How many of you guys would say it's been an awesome first week so far for you? Yeah, it's been great. I'm also excited for when I can eat pizza again. But it's been awesome. And man, if you haven't connected or tracked with that, go to blazechurch.org/prayer. We've got everything up there. We have live prayer services. We're partnering with Church of the Highlands. We've got resources. We've got teachings that we've given on prayer and fasting. Everything you need is right there, blazechurch.org/prayer. But today, we're going to talk about another get-to that way too often we just say, no way, no how, I can't, I'm not capable, find someone else, not going to be me. And I really am excited that you're here this morning, because all week I've had to carry the conviction of this message alone. And so come on in, everybody. Let's just be convicted by the Holy Spirit under this one. I need some friends to feel this. But we're not just going to be convicted. We are going to be built up and be encouraged today. But I do want to start by just giving you three verses that will highlight the get-to that we have as believers. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 says, "Therefore," say these words with me, "go and make disciples of all nations." Hey, just go and make disciples. Okay, now when you see yellow on the screen, that's your hint to say it out loud, okay? I'm letting you in on what we do here. So you see yellow, just say it, these next verses. Mark 16, he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." Okay, that was good. Let's do this last verse, 1 Peter. "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." Okay. So just by a show of hands, you're in church. This is not a good place to lie. Lightning might strike you. I don't know. It doesn't work like that. All right, just calm down. By a show of hands, how many of us would say, "Well, I regularly disobey everything we just read"? Come on. My hands are up. It's all right. Every service we've had, just hands are up. A bunch of honest people. Thank you. Right? Think about that. These are the first two verses were actually the words of Jesus, like spoken by him. And this is Peter, a disciple of Jesus, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And it's all the same theme. It's basically share your faith. Go and tell people about Jesus. Man, this is one of those things, let's be honest, that just goes right on the "I'll do it tomorrow" list. I'll share my faith with that person tomorrow. I'll get around to it. I'll invite them to church tomorrow when I see them at work. I'll invite them the next time I see them. I'll talk about Jesus tomorrow. And I believe, because, guys, fully honest, this is very hard, isn't it? This is hard. In fact, we're going to be spending the next few weeks looking at some more things that we get to do. We're talking about small groups and forgiving others and processing grief and loss. And I believe that out of all of these messages, this one is very, very hard. Like, it's the one where it just trips you up if you're a believer in Christ. You can just look and say, "I am not qualified for this. I am not called for this." That's the pastor's job. That's what we pay you for. Like, that's brother so-and-so. She's really good at doing this. But guys, this is the word of God for everyone who knows Jesus as their Savior. To make disciples, to share the gospel, to what we say here at Blaze Church, our mission is what you see on the wall when you walk in, to blaze the way for people to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. That's just our mission as a church. That's your mission as a believer. So what can we discover today that would enable us to say, you know what, this isn't about tomorrow, this is about today. Like January 10th, I want to make a decision that I will share my faith. I will share Jesus. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at a moment of Jesus with another individual, and we're really going to pull out, I called it the 5 steps to sharing your faith. Today really feels like a class. It's just, I'm really going to encourage you to take notes today. Like, if you're not a note taker in church, let this be the first day you take notes in church, either on your phone or if you brought something with you, because I want to show you, just walk through this passage, and it's really what the Holy Spirit just showed me this week, 5 things that we see with Jesus interacting with another person and how we can share our faith with others. And if you don't have faith in Christ today, maybe you're saying, "Well, this is my first time in church. In fact, you were invited here by someone who believes in him." Man, I'm so excited, because today you are going to discover who God is, his plan for your life, and I do believe, in church, let me know if you believe it too, that today is your birthday. Like, today you're going to be born again in Jesus' name and begin to know who the living water is. His name is Jesus. He is that living hope. But let's turn to John chapter 4. We're going to do a little bit of reading together, and I'm just going to show you what Jesus did and how he shared faith and how we can share faith as well. John chapter 4, starting at verse 4, says, "Now he had to go through Samaria." I want to pause for a moment and share something with you from this short verse. Now, we believe, and I personally believe, and as a church, we hold to that Scripture is inspired by God, and it is truth for our lives. Like, it is God's truth. There is no falsehood when you turn to these pages. It's God-breathed. But I will say that when I look at this verse, it's not true geographically speaking. Like, it's God's word, but geographically, for a Jewish person, there really was no, "You have to go through Samaria." And here's why. Let me give you some context. The Jewish people and the Samaritan people, they did not play nice together, to put it lightly. They did not get along. They did not love one another. They did not care for one another. They did not respect one another or honor one another. At some point in Jewish history, there were Jewish people who had married into other nations and adopted other religious practices and just kind of took the law in its entirety and created a subset of it. They set up their own temple system, and the Jewish people began to look at the Samaritans and view them as unclean, as sinners, as horrible. In fact, it's recorded that when a Samaritan person will get close to a Jewish person, or even if a Jewish person would speak about a Samaritan, they would actually spit just to show their disgust for that race and people group. So when John tells us that Jesus had to go through Samaria, understand geographically he did not have to go through Samaria. In fact, maybe you've avoided certain roads. Like how many of you, whatever it takes, no Jersey Turnpike. Just I'll take a different route. I'll get over a different bridge. Like I am not getting stuck between these very long exits. Like, well, take that, but this is mixed in with racism and hatred and bigotry and supremacy and all of these things, and they would say, there's no way I'm going through Samaria. So then what is Scripture telling us? When it says that Jesus had to go through Samaria, it's not talking about geography, it's talking about mission and purpose. It's talking about Jesus said that he came not to be served, but to serve and to seek and save the lost. That Jesus was so intentional while he walked this earth to make sure that it was those, not the healthy who need a doctor, he said, but it's the sick who need a doctor. That he came seeking out those who were lost without a shepherd, and he would go to those people. See, the first thing we're discovering when it comes to sharing our faith is this. We've got to create opportunities. That's the first thing. If you're going to share your faith, you have to create an opportunity. How often do you go out of your way to share your faith with someone who doesn't know him? Like, just think about that. How often are you like me where I just got to go into the store real quick. I'm going to get in. I'm going to get one item. I'm going to get out. Well, did you know that one item moment, there's a moment for you to create an opportunity with the cashier, with someone you might run into? Can I confess something to everybody? I didn't tell any other services. I'm going to tell you guys something that I do that's horrible. There are times where I'm in a store and I see somebody that I know and I intentionally go down a different aisle. Am I alone on this? Just making sure, okay. Because I don't have time to engage, but I'll do it when? Tomorrow, yeah. Okay, so you're as jacked up as I am, so praise the Lord. Right? Guys, come on, Jesus didn't do that. That's not the example that we have from our Savior, from this God of love, that he intentionally went out of his way to engage with others, especially lost people. He created an opportunity in an environment where you wouldn't even expect to find a Jewish person. And here's what we read. It goes on to say, Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, say this word with me because it's important, tired, okay? Jesus is tired. As he was from the journey, sat down by the well, and it was about, what's this word? Noon, okay? Jesus is tired. It's noontime in a desert climate. That means it's very, very hot. And yet, we just saw he's creating opportunity. Like, guys, despite how we feel and despite the time of day it is, there's moments where we can create opportunities. Wherever you are, whether you just think you went to a family party, but you can actually create an opportunity. You just think you're scrolling around social media, but you can create an opportunity. You just think it's just your job, but you can create an opportunity. And so he goes to this well, and it says, when the Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? His disciples had gone into town to buy food. That's going to be important for the end of this part. But Jesus is right here alone. The Samaritan woman comes, and he engages first. He just asks her a question, like just a nice question. I'm thirsty. Can you give me something to drink? But look how she responds. The Samaritan woman said to him, you are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? And then John just gives us the details that I just shared with you. For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. So what I want you to realize is already happening when Jesus goes to share faith with someone is it's getting a little awkward. Like if you're saying today, the reason why I'm not going to share my faith with somebody is because it's going to get awkward. Yes, it's going to get awkward. But it got awkward for Jesus too. Like just anticipate that. Yeah, like he's just asking her for a drink and she's all like, how come you're talking to me? What's your angle? What's your pitch? What's your motivation? Why are you doing this right now? Like what's going on? What's really going on? It's a little awkward. The second thing we discover in this moment is that once there's an opportunity, we've got to be ready to overcome barriers. That there are going to be barriers as you share God's love with other people. In fact, let me just show you a few barriers, and you said some of them with me. The first barrier we see is this person is a Samaritan, and he's a Jewish person. That's a racial barrier for this culture. No, don't speak to us. You don't value us. She points it out. Why are you talking to me? We don't get along. Jesus doesn't let that barrier become a boundary to sharing his faith. She's a woman. In the first century culture, it was not common for a man to approach a woman and engage in conversation. That's just another barrier of his day. We're going to discover another barrier. She has a very messy past. Like, the town knows what kind of a woman she is, what it will look like for Jesus to engage with this kind of Samaritan woman, and yet he does. We all said it. What was Jesus? He was tired. Come on, everybody, let's be honest. How many of us have used that one before? I'm just tired. Not now. I'll do it tomorrow. I don't want to share my faith right now. I'm tired. And it's noon. It's not favorable climate. It's not a good moment. Like, Jesus, I'll share my faith, but I need, like, the right music. I need elevation in the background. It's just got to be good. Like, I need the right moment, and I'll bring you up anytime, Lord, just as long as it's not noon. It's basically one of the worst environments for him to share faith in. And then the last thing we discover is this. The disciples at the end of this moment are actually going to pressure him about this. Like, they will wonder why he spoke to her. There'll be peer pressure. Imagine this. Jesus is going to be peer pressured by his disciples for sharing his faith. That's a barrier. Like, you might say, but if I share my faith, if I talk to this person, what are other people going to think? How can I do this in the office? How can I do this online? There's going to be pressure. Yes. There are going to be so many reasons for us not to share our faith. But can I tell you, there is a big reason that can undercut every single one of those, and it's this. God loves that person, God made that person, and God has a plan for that person. Jesus Christ died for that person in your life who does not know him yet as Lord and Savior. The same blood that he shed for you, he shed for them. For God so loved the world that he gave his son. Jesus will not allow a barrier to become a boundary marker that says, you shall not pass. Lord of the Rings, bro. I got you. Right? It's just, some of you are just like, what is he talking about? That's okay. It's not going to be a boundary that says, there's no way that I'm going to cross this line. God, I can't. Find me someone that I'm like. There's a racial barrier here. Find me someone that's got a little bit more put together of a life. There's a reputation for this person. Find me a better time. Get me when I've got more energy, God. Like, all of that can well up in us. None of that is the Spirit at work inside of us, guys. Come on, the Spirit is willing, and it's the flesh that's weak. The flesh will give you every reason and excuse to duck out down another aisle and to avoid somebody and to just find another reason to not today, I'll do it tomorrow. Jesus just says, no, I'm going to engage this person. She asked, why are you talking to me? And Jesus answered her, and here's what he said. If you knew, in fact, say those words with me. If you knew, you've got your Bible with you. I want you to underline that. That's key words right there. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. If you knew is filled with potential. In fact, I'm going to ask you to do something right now. I want you to think about the person in your life who you know does not know God. Like, you just know by the choices they're making, by the responses they have, by decisions, by their purpose. Come on, just that person that you, like, they don't know him. Could you just put that on them for a moment? Man, if they knew God. If they knew, every scream you hear is a happy scream. And when we're in our Blaze Church portable, we won't hear screams anymore. It's big. If you knew, come on, think about that person right now. How would their marriage be different? How would their purpose be different? How would their responses be different? How would they be able to grieve different? How would they be able to forgive different? How would they live different? How would they manage finances different? Come on, if you knew is a possibility question. And what Jesus is saying to this person is, if you knew who was speaking to you, if you knew the living water, you would be asking me for what I've got. Like, if you knew, and he goes on, it says, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. What he's doing now is he's taking something practical that they're standing around and he's giving it some spiritual application. So they're by a well and he's saying, listen, let's stop talking about physical water for a moment. Let's talk about your life. Let's talk about your soul. Let's talk about who you are. If you keep going back to the same well over and over and over again, that's why you're so thirsty. And he says, but whoever drinks the water I give them, what does that say? Will never thirst. Will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And what Jesus is doing is the third thing we've got to understand, guys. It's share your testimony. Share your testimony with others. That's what Jesus is doing. He's saying, you got to understand there is living water for you. Who you are right now and the well that you are drinking from, it is creating thirst. It is not satisfying you. But if you knew what I was able to do, right, Jesus, if you knew, man, you would have living water that would well up in you so that you would not be thirsty again. You know, that word, share your testimony, it may seem like a big word, like, how do we do testimonies? We'll just pass around this microphone and do testimony time. Who wants to do it? No, yeah, not doing that. Nobody's getting the mic today, all right? I don't want you to be spooked out by that word, share your testimony. Really, what that simply means is share what God has done in your life. Like just share your faith story. Here, let me help you with it. If you never thought about this, here's your faith story. Who were you before Jesus, and who are you now because of Jesus? That's your faith story. Notice it's about a who, not about a what. It's about an identity. Who were you? You were someone that just lived for the approval of others. You were someone that just chased comforts in this life. Maybe you were someone that you needed relational, horizontal affirmation, and you went from one relationship to the next relationship. In fact, that's we're going to see exactly what this woman did. That was her well, just constantly going for more relationships horizontally. But now in light of Jesus, who are you? You are a child of God. You are satisfied by the living water. All of the things in life now have their proper place, and not one of them can define you because you are free in Jesus' name. That's your testimony. The scripture says we actually overcome by the blood of the Lamb what Jesus did and the word of our testimony. Your faith story actually matters. And I encourage you, followers of Christ, if you don't know that, take some time to this week just, God, who was I before you and who am I now because of you? And that's what you start to share with others. You share what he has done in your life. Remember that song, Look What the Lord Has Done? Anybody? Thank you, Megan. I appreciate your hand raise. Right, just look at what God's done. I got to keep it fresh, man. It's 11:30. I'm just saying whatever at this point. This is what God's done. This is what he's done in my life. And, man, I just want to share it. Now, it seems like Jesus drops the ball in this next exchange that he has with her because it just gets so weird. It gets so messy. And in fact, maybe you have hesitation about sharing your faith because you are afraid of a moment like this, like where it's just going to get deep, or you're going to have a question you can't answer, or the conversation is going to totally pivot in a way that you are not prepared for. Well, here's what Jesus says. He told her, go call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. And I'm like, Jesus, chill. You're coming on strong, man. Like, you were doing good up until this. Like, you're talking about water. You were doing great. Why are you bringing this up right now? Okay, we're going to find out why. But she responds, sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. So if you're afraid that while you start to share your faith with others, things may get weird and tense, yes, they might. Like something might come up in the conversation that you just feel like, wow, I wasn't prepared for that. I didn't mean that. What do I do now? Like, so I want to show you why I believe Jesus did this for two specific reasons. The first reason why I think Jesus went into her relational history and the present relationship she was in is because he wanted her to know who she was speaking to was not an ordinary person. And in fact, she picks up on that. That's why her first response is, you're a prophet. Because they've never met before, and he's telling her, I know all about your past. I know how now you've just given up on what God has defined as marriage, and I know where you are in life. And she recognizes, okay, there's something different about you. But I want you to see this. Second reason I think Jesus does this in this moment in sharing faith is because he is showing her, I know everything about you, and yet I'm coming to you. I know everything about your life. I know about the well you've been drinking of. I know about your relationship history. I know where you are right now in your living status. And yet, I love you. And yet, I'm talking with you. And yet, I haven't allowed any barrier to become a boundary to stop me from sharing with you living water. Guys, we've got to get this one. We have to be available for people. Like, we've got to follow the model of our Savior, who in this moment does not focus on the sin, but focuses on the person that is there, that needs rescue, that needs his love. Like, I want you to understand that people who don't know God, lost people, that's what Scripture says. That's where I was, lost before Jesus and now found in him. Lost people are going to anticipate some form of judgment when a Christian goes to share their faith with them. Have you seen that? Right? Like, they're just going to wait for the hammer to drop. Like, at some point, you're going to condemn me about this. You're going to judge me about that. You're going to tell me I don't go to church enough. I shouldn't buy that. I shouldn't drink that. I shouldn't do that. They're anticipating that. Can we, as Blaze Church, decide that we're going to prove people wrong when it comes to that? Like, can we say, well, here's actually what I'm going to do is I'm going to follow the example of Jesus, and I'm going to love you, and I'm going to share him with you. Like, I want you to know who he is, because I can see, here's my testimony, I've drank from a well that runs dry before. And now I know Jesus Christ, who is the living water. And yet too often, you know, we get so, I think it's more about us than it is about the person that we're trying to share Jesus with. And God forbid we ever use a language that says, that's a project, and I'm going to convert that person. No. That's an image bearer of God who Jesus died for that needs to know his great love. You don't need to be proud of the amount of people that you saved and got your own sticker chart at home to keep track of it. Please just rip that up if that's what you have, because that's all about you as opposed to being about God. Like, man, create opportunities where you go. Overcome those barriers. Share your testimony and be available to someone. Jesus just lets her speak. And what does she do? She actually does what probably a lot of people will do today as well. She just brings religion into it. That's what she just gets religious on him. Well, you Jews worship here and we worship over here. And Jesus doesn't take the bait. He just keeps moving forward. He just makes sure that she knows the main thing, which is our fifth step that we've got to see. The woman said, I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. And when he comes, he will explain everything to us. And then watch this. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. We've got to focus on this when we share our faith. It's simply this. Reveal Jesus. Reveal Jesus. When this is a little mind-blowing. I'm going to just stay with me. When you share Jesus, share Jesus. Just, really? Yes. Keep the main thing, the main thing. Yeah, but what about the end times and how's it going to happen? Keep the main thing, the main thing. Yeah, but did Adam and Eve have belly buttons? Keep the main thing. But where are the dinosaurs? Keep the main thing, main thing. To share Jesus, just share Jesus. Like, just share him. Just share your testimony, make it Christ-centered, not about you. You know who the hero is of your testimony? It's Jesus. It all points back to him. This is what he has done. This is who he is. Guys, Scripture says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So yes, when you share your faith, share Scripture that has to do with revealing Jesus. Like every Scripture does. We believe that. Every page points to Jesus. But guys, when we come at people, we don't need to come at them condemning them for a lifestyle they're living if they don't know Christ yet. Like, all people are doing is living exactly how you're supposed to live if you don't know Jesus. So I'm going to share the living water with you, and then Scripture says you're an adopted child of God. The Holy Spirit now lives in you. Guess what? The Holy Spirit will convict that person into all righteousness. He will do it. But we are called to go and preach the gospel, to give an answer for the hope that we have, which is our testimony. Is that making sense? Because I really want you to see this. Like, share Jesus. Reveal Jesus. And that's exactly what he does. In fact, this is the first time that's recorded in the Gospel of John where Jesus actually reveals his messianic identity to someone. And notice who it is. It's a woman who has what scholars believe to be 5 divorces and is now living with someone they're not married to. It's basically what we might say, like someone who has a bad reputation. And Jesus says, you're the first person I'm actually going to reveal my identity to. No one in your life is too far gone that they are not able to receive God's love. Believe that. And this woman has changed. Her identity's changed. And then the disciples come back, and here's where they're a little confused as to why Jesus is talking with her. And she ends up leaving, and we're going to see why in just a moment. But now it's just Jesus and the disciples. So this is really where, guys, if you know Christ, I want us to get into this story for a moment, this day in Christ's life. Because now it's just him and the disciples, and look at what happens. Meanwhile, the disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. Notice, they went to town to get food. He didn't have any food with him while he was at the well. And verse 32 says, but he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. It's day 8, everybody. It's day 8 of 21 days of prayer and fasting. And I feel like my body is the disciples being like, eat something. Eat something. And my spirit and yours is saying, I have food that you know nothing about. Because Jesus goes on to say, my food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. What's God's will? That none should perish and all should have everlasting life. That lost people would be found. Jesus is simply telling his followers, you want to know what true nourishment is? You want to know what will satisfy you more than anything you can consume physically? It is to do God's will. And if you have had the beautiful privilege of sharing the gospel with someone so that they go from dead to alive, like you were a part of that in their life, of what the Holy Spirit did, then I know that you know that this is true. And if you have not experienced that, get ready. You're about to have the best meal of your life. Like you are about to be satisfied, like you can't understand. When you can see someone who is living apart from God, and God invites you to share your faith with them, and the Holy Spirit does what he can do, and they accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. And I love, one of my pastor friends says that we exist to plunder hell and populate heaven. And you start to be a part of that and experience that. That is what Jesus says, this is the food I eat. This is true nourishment. And then he says this to his disciples, don't you have a saying? It's still 4 months until harvest, indicating what time of the year it was for them. Basically, he's saying, come on, you guys say this, in 4 months, there'll be some harvest there. But here's what he says. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. And remember where they were. They weren't in Jerusalem. They weren't in Jewish country. They were in a place where Jewish people wrote off and said, there's nothing good that can come from here. And Jesus says, no, you need to open your eyes. You need to realize, not tomorrow, but today, the harvest is ready. Today, there are lost people who need to be found in Jesus' name. And Blaze Church, this is why God is opening the door for us to expand on the east end of Long Island and to say, no, there's lost people in Riverhead, in Southampton, in Flanders, in Quag, and all over this east end who need to know who Jesus is. They need to know God's love. There is a harvest of people who need to come in and be saved in Jesus' name. And Jesus doesn't say, we'll do it tomorrow. He says, open your eyes, look. And in fact, that's what we're going to pray at the end of our time together, that God would open our eyes and that we would look and see the people around us who need to know him. Because you never know who that person is that you're going to lead to know Jesus and bring the gospel to them and then the difference they're going to make. In fact, that's what happened with this Samaritan woman. It goes on to say, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him. Why? Because of the woman's testimony. She just did what she saw Jesus do. And here's her testimony. I think it's funny. He told me everything I ever did. Like, that's her testimony. Like, hey, let me show you a guy who pointed out my sin, who told me everything I ever did, and now I am made new. Notice it's past tense. Everything I did. She takes her current relationship and says, this is a did now because of what Jesus has done in my life. Now I have the living water. I'm not going to thirst any longer. And many people in that area believe. In fact, it goes on to say that Jesus spends 2 more days there because they just want more of him. And this town is just, they're being changed by God's love. Now, when I was praying about, you know, God, what do we package this up as? Like, what's this message called? And I'm not too hung up on words of messages and whatnot, but I really felt like, God, I want this one to have something to it. Like, I want people to be scrolling on their podcasts and be like, oh, I want to listen to that. I figured it would be something about sharing our faith or evangelizing 101 with PK, like something like that. He didn't do any of that. He just put this on my heart. You can do this. You, because I mean this, church, if I'm your pastor, hear my heart, I mean this to you. I believe that out of the things we're talking about this month, this is that one where we truly can say, this is not for me, it's for someone else. It's for someone more gifted. I'm saved, but I can't share my story with someone. I'll get them to church and then someone else will do it. No, listen to me. You can do this. And I know that because God's word has invited you and commanded you to do it. And so how would God say, go and preach if you can't? Like, just think about that. What would God say? Be ready to give an answer if you're like, no, not me. He must be talking about somebody else in that page. No, this is every believer. You can do this, and here's why. Matthew 28:19 that we read earlier said, go and make disciples of all nations. Well, the next verse says, and I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. And then Jesus ascends to heaven, which makes it seem like, wait a second, you're with us, but you're leaving us? Yes, because I'm sending the Holy Spirit. And now he is with us always. Guys, when you share your faith, even if it's just you and another person, as it was with Jesus and this woman, you are not alone. You go in the power of the Holy Spirit that is alive in you. Like, you trust in him. You rest on him. You don't have to have index cards of verses, and maybe it's written on your arm like a quarterback. You just got, I'm going to run the play. This one's going to get saved. No. You go in the power of the Holy Spirit. You be prayed up. You be prepared. You know God's word. But ultimately, it is the power of the Holy Spirit at work in you who is going to work through you as you create opportunities and overcome barriers, share your testimony, be available to someone in love, and ultimately reveal Jesus. Now, I want you to know, you're not just alone because the Spirit's with you. You're not alone because you have a church that's with you. In fact, I want you to reach into the chair in front of you and grab out this bag. Everyone's got one right in the chair in front of them. Don't worry, it's not going to bite you. Just grab this bag. It's just for you. And what this bag is this is just your new Blaze Church Portable Invite Card Pack. And in this little bag is 6 invite cards that have the details of our new space that we're going to be gathering in on January 24th. And we're going to take a moment before we sing this response song, and I'm actually going to ask you to hold this in your hand and to hold it up, as I'm going to pray that it is like it's anointed to go where God is going to have this go through you sharing your faith this week and next week. And this is a very tangible, practical way to start sharing your faith. Like, if you're saying, I've never done this before, start here. There's someone you know in your life, at your job, in your family, at the gym, at the coffee shop, wherever it is that you go, you just start here. Hey, my church is going to be meeting at a new spot. I'd love for you to be my guest. Would you come with me? Here's all the information. Just start somewhere to start the conversation. Jesus started by saying, give me a drink. Just start here. And if you're like, well, Pastor Keith, what if I mess it up? I mess it up all the time, guys. In fact, a few weeks ago, I messed it up so bad with one of my friends at the gym, I thought for sure he would never speak to me again. It was the most awkward exchange right by the bench press. It was great until I brought Jesus in, and I gave him a card, and I said, you should come to church with me. He just held it and looked at it, like looked at me. He's just very awkward and confused. I thought he would never talk to me again, but he did, and it's all good. But come on, create opportunities. Share your faith. Not tomorrow. No one's promised tomorrow. Today, like, just share your faith, and this is a great way to get started. And so we've got hundreds of these. So if you come back next week and say, hey, I gave out 6, I need more. We got packs of these so that you can just begin sharing your faith and inviting people to come and experience God. We're going to respond this morning with a loud song. I really wanted our response to be very like, just we're gonna do this. I can do this, man. I can get this done. And so we're going to sing a song called My Testimony. That's all about our story and how God has changed us and made us new. And now we're going to share that with others. And so I'm going to ask our worship team to join me. I'm going to ask our church to put your mask back on as we get ready to sing. And then stand with me. And I want you to hold this pack that you have in your hand. All right? So if you put it away, just pull it out. Hold it in your hand. I'll give you this because I can't get it in my pocket. Thank you. And I want to pray for you right now as you have this. But before I do want to invite you to put your faith in Jesus if you don't know him. Because maybe today you've come to church in this space or online, and maybe you're like that woman. Like, you recognize, man, I'm drinking from a well that is dry. Like, you just continue to go back. You just continue to go back to the same relationship, and there's hurt and there's pain there. You just continue to just look in comforts. You're just doing the very best you can to get some status for yourself online or in a company. And you can't figure out why it's not satisfying you. And now you're hearing it's because you were created to know the living water. You were created to never thirst again by coming to Jesus. And so in this moment, I want to just invite you to put your faith in him, online or in this space. I want you to know that God loves you, that he sees you. I believe that there are people in this space, you feel like you're so broken that God wouldn't want you. You've hurt him. You've gone against him. You've made choices that you feel like you can't come back from, and yet he's coming to you today. He's saying, I am the living water that you need. And so I want to lead you in a moment to be alone with him and pray. And if you want to know Jesus today as your Savior, you're saying, Pastor Keith, I want to know him. As we pray, just extend your hand so I can pray with you and just declare that God is for you and not against you. Church, just join me in just whispering this prayer to God. Just say, Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus died and rose again so I could be forgiven. Thank you for new life. Today, I give you mine. Thank you for making me new. In your name, amen. If you don't know Jesus as Savior, and today's the first day you're praying, we got a resource we want to give you. Before you leave, look at that table. It says, what's my next step? Online family, go to blazechurch.org/decision. So we would love to connect with you. But right now, church, I'm going to ask you, as I pray, would you just hold this up? Because I just want to pray that we are ready to share our testimony this week. God, I thank you for every person in this space and online. And we're just saying, God, we want to share our faith with others this week. We thank you for this opportunity to be bold and witness. We thank you that you have invited us to make you known. May we keep the main thing, and reveal Jesus to others this week. May we look for opportunities and overcome barriers and have our testimony to share. May we be available to those who are hurting and lost. And ultimately, Jesus, you receive glory for our stories. In your name we pray. Amen.